Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Yes, we do. We're back on this beautiful August day. How terrible has your heat been?
Oh, very bad. Not as bad as yours, I understand. But but still bad. Like, it's basically been feeling like 100 here, and that's not good.
Too hot.
I think it's a little better today. Not that I've gone outside. But if I had, from what I hear, I think it's a little better today. Is it insane there?
I love it. It is always just so hot. I don't know. I went for like an hour walk talking to my mom on the phone today, and I thought I was going to faint. And I was like, needed exercise. Like, I just needed to be outside and to move.
Oh, my God.
And it was tough.
Brutal.
Yeah, I'm like, am I just revealing everything on this podcast? But for some reason, it feels better to be moving with my shingles. I don't know why.
Reveal to the masses. Yeah, Lauren has shingles, but it's stress related, and it's not fair that you're so stressed, and it makes me sad.
I know. I'm trying to get a better handle on it. I told Felicia I'm just handling it by just having extreme control over as many things as I can in my life.
Well, that's the only way. That's the only way for now. We'll figure out a better coping mechanism after the shingles are gone.
Exactly. But anyway, I did want to really quickly tell a little ghost personal story that happened to me recently.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
If that's okay.
Please.
So we were leaving. So we finally, I know we've been in our new house for a while, but we still had the other apartment lease. So we went back to like make sure we had everything out of there and like clean up a little bit. And when we went back to the old apartment, this is like where we have always felt like there was possibly a ghost in the second bathroom. And Willow is convinced there's a ghost in that bathroom. It used to be hers. Mm-hmm. And so we were all three there. And we were about to literally like leave the apartment, and the bathroom light turned on like randomly.
Oh,
and again,
no.
I just feel like it's a ghost.
I mean, it's obviously a ghost at this point. That's insane. That's crazy.
It was very scary, but it felt like the ghost saying goodbye to us. So we were like, goodbye, ghost. We will see you never again.
Never. You better not come to our new house, is what you said.
Exactly. Please don't follow us to our new house.
Yeah. That's wild. I love an update, so thank you. I wonder who's moving there now, like who lives there now.
Right? I wanted to be like, do you guys have a ghost? Are you okay?
Have you noticed anything funny? Yeah. I have a recommendation, but do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first or either way. But I was just going to say I saw the new Barbie movie and I absolutely loved it. Have you seen that one yet?
Yes, I saw it. I also loved it. I thought it was amazing and so different than what I expected.
So
yeah. I just loved that it was just so over the top in every way.
Yes. It was like, I thought it was going to be, you know, I don't know if like, I thought it would be quote unquote woke,
sure.
But I thought it might be like more preachy, and I'm glad that it wasn't. It was still very fun.
Yeah. And it was like, I liked that it was like, they were like giving commentary on their own commentary. And this way, that was really funny, I thought.
Yes, I totally agree. Like, I felt like it was like the right line of like, we're feminist and we're looking at this through 2023 eyes and all these things. But it was also like not anti-Barbie. Like, I thought, I don't know, it was good.
Absolutely. I really liked when they did the voiceover being like, this point doesn't make any sense with the casting of Margot Robbie. But anyways. Do you remember that part with the voiceover? It was so funny.
I loved it. I know, with like her no makeup, like still gorgeous face.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
She really is so beautiful.
I know.
She really does look like a Barbie. The costumes were so fun.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Was there any others from you?
Oh, I guess, yes. I feel like I've actually seen a fair amount of things. It's been a little bit since we recorded, I guess. I also saw the new Haunted Mansion, which I will give like a mixed review for. I feel like I liked it less than James, but more than the Eddie Murphy movie.
Okay. I will say.
Have you seen that one?
I didn't even know a new Haunted Mansion was coming out until I saw your Instagram post, is the truth of it.
Wow.
I don't know anything.
Should we get a marketing cut?
Probably. I also was like upstate for a month with no internet, so I really missed a lot of stuff that went down. But no, I had no idea there was a new Haunted Mansion. Not a clue.
Yeah. Well, and it has Jamie Lee Curtis. So there are definitely things that I think you will particularly love about it. It does. I will say, too, like it is scary and still really fun. And like I think in a lot of ways captures like the tone of the ride. There were just like some decisions I didn't love. Like I felt like some of the plot and some of the dialogue was pretty bad. I'm trying to even think. They like really did Rosario Dawson really dirty with like, she does not look very cute in the movie. Like her hair is terrible. Her clothing's not great.
That's crazy.
I know. And she's gorgeous.
Yeah, I was going to say, why would they do that? And who is she playing?
Not sure.
Is she the spooky
one? She's like playing like the mom who owns the house.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird. So she like is supposed to be like, you know, relatively normal, but I don't know. I just felt like her, you know, not really love interest, but like the lead guy in the movie is Lakeith Stanfield. Do you know him?
Nope. Tell me more.
you probably will if you saw his face, but he is like one of the hottest people to me. And so I'm like, him and Rosario would be hot if it was like, if they didn't make her look so weird.
Yeah, that's a bummer. It's like, especially, I mean, she's just such a queen in my eyes that I'm just like, she should be always treated as such.
Exactly. But anyway, that's it for me.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I saw, which I know you're seeing, you said tomorrow, Talk to Me. You're seeing it tomorrow?
Yes. I'm seeing it tonight, actually. Oh, tonight. But yes, tonight, I don't know where this will be in podcast world.
Yeah. Weeks ago. Yeah, so I really, really loved it a lot. I was actually thinking about doing a YouTube review, which I haven't put up one of those in many months, like 4 months. But
oh my God, you must.
I think I might do it. I don't know. We'll see how I feel tonight. But yeah, it was really, really great. Maybe I'm just not watching enough Australian horror films, but every time I do see an Australian horror film, I'm just like, damn, that was freaking scary. So it was, yeah, it was very scary. It you know, it's got the kind of like possession stuff that feels, it's not that it all feels so original, but it's that it's all so well done. Like, yeah, like every scare, the characters, the effects, like I was really, really pleased with the entire thing. Like I was genuinely scared at times. Like I even had one moment in the theater where I did cover my eyes for a brief moment. Yeah. It's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. I will complain just for the smallest moment here that the girl in front of me was scrolling through Instagram most of the movie and the girl next to me kept talking to her boyfriend. And I was like, people, stop. But it was fine. It was still
in a horror movie.
How is this not keeping your attention? I don't understand. But it was really genuinely scary, honestly. And the main couple people were really good. Yeah, it's just like they just did things really well. And there was some uniqueness in terms of how they did the possession stuff. But yeah, it was just really, really well done. I was really, really pleased.
I can't wait to see it.
I also haven't seen a horror movie in theaters in a while. So it was, yeah, I was really impressed. But yeah.
It's just so much better to see it in the theaters, I really think. I don't know what it is. It just gets me more. It's scarier.
I started like 3 horror films just like this week and only got like 20 minutes in, like just at my house. Because I'm just like, like when I'm home, it's like I don't have the attention span anymore. Like my brain is just like wants to do other things or like wants to do multiple things at once. Like, but when I'm in the theater, it's like, oh, okay. Like I'm shutting off my phone and I'm like existing only in this space for 2 hours. And I like that.
I know. It's so powerful. It's like we never do that like really ever except theater and movies. Like just like totally turn it off.
Absolutely. And I love it.
But I love it. Amazing.
Well, anything I'm excited else? To tell. No. I think that's probably it, honestly. But I'm excited to tell our audience that we're talking about aliens this week.
Yes. I'm very excited. I'm also very scared. Do you feel scared?
It's funny. I've seen a lot of TikToks that I felt like kind of encapsulated how I feel about this, which is just like, I feel like I should be more affected by the news than I am. And world, you know what I mean? Like the world's like, we have aliens, we have alien bodies, we have alien crafts. Also, you do have to go to work tomorrow. Also, what's for dinner? Also, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's like, we're just bombarded with crazy news, and we have been for years now. Like, for the last seven or 8 years, I feel like we've just been hit with so many insane things that, like, it's kind of like, okay, well, what's next? Like, okay, sure. Aliens? Yeah, surprise me with something. Come on. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Totally. I totally get that feeling. And it is, like, wild to be, like, we are receiving this information and also all your, like, daily tasks. Like, it is really crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I'm going to, later in this
episode. Shall I jump into?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, yes, I'm going to cover the congressional hearings a bit later in this episode. But Lauren had the smart idea to, like, cover some, like, older alien stuff to, like, kind of get us started here.
Yes. And I know, I think I, like, couldn't, I know we've danced around some of the things I'm going to talk about. I think there might have been, like, maybe your episode that you did, like, we've done abduction stories before where I feel like we've covered, like, some of the general history sort of stuff, but I'm just going to, you know, cover some things that were interesting to me and kind of give us some context for what Felicia will talk about.
Yeah. And I did try to look at our past episodes to remember what we had talked about. And yeah, I did. I talked about almost a year ago this month, basically, yeah, August of last year, I think I had talked about, like, the Pentagon releasing those documents about UFOs. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I had talked through some of that stuff, but also that was a year ago, so, like, I barely remember it myself. So I feel like if you hit anything, I'll probably be surprised. Even if I talked about it before, I swear.
Yes, definitely. No, I feel the same way. So I'm going to start, like, way back when, just because I think it's super interesting to think about, like, you know, way back in, let's say, 240 BC is the first time that, like, people noticing in the sky and not knowing what they are, like, you know, is brought up. And that's Halley's Comet, which was recorded by Chinese astronomers in 240 BC. And then possibly as early as 467 BC was, like, Halley's Comet was again talked about and just documented as, like, a strange and unknown guest light, which I love, guest light in the sky. Mm. So obviously at that time, people thought about it as, you know, religious omens or angels or gods. And so they didn't really understand in the same way that obviously we, you know about the universe and stars and everything else. So then kind of next thing I'm going to talk about really briefly, this was actually something that I think I covered on the podcast, is in 1561, there was a celestial phenomenon over Nuremberg that people think was, like, an aerial battle, you know, between aliens or extraterrestrials.
I remember that one.
Yes.
Yeah, you told me that one.
Which is crazy to think that far back.
Yeah.
So that you can find, it's like in a, it's basically just a picture that was in a newspaper at the time, basically. It was called a broadsheet, but you can go back and listen to that episode. I'm not going to go into it, but it's, you know, another kind of big point, I would say, in, like, the history of UFOs. And then on January 25th, 1878, we have one of the first uses of the word saucer in relation to a UFO, which I also think is, you know, interesting to think about them being kind of shaped, you know, over time. We have, like, very similar sightings and similar shapes being seen. So this was in the Denison Daily News. There was a printed article. I don't know if you're going to get into this, Felicia, but I think the funniest thing to me about UFO research is, like, there is a lot of, like, that stereotypical, like, person in the middle of nowhere with, like, a, you know, like, a thick southern accent, or, like, a, you know, like,
oh yeah,
this kind of stereotype of, like, I saw something in the air.
Yes. What's that called? Beer can What is it called? There's like a term for it, but it's like beer can astrology. Wow, I feel like that should have
come up in my research.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's probably a made-up term. I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, I love it. But it's, you know, it is like that stereotype does kind of exist. So that was a local farmer whose name is John Martin. He saw a large, dark, circular object flying incredibly fast. It's in the newspaper. And then really the next thing I'm going to talk about, there was like a wave of UFO sightings across U.S. newspapers with reports of, you know, airships from November 1896 to April 1897. Feels kind of similar to other UFO waves, like the ones, you know, we probably know a little bit more about in like the late 40s, early 50s kind of time period. And then probably like the next, you know, bigger thing I'm going to talk about was there was this, you know, another wave that began on June 24th, 1947. And I really can't remember if we've covered this at all, Felicia. So I'm sorry if we have.
Wait, 1947?
Yes. This was Kenneth Arnold. Do we ever talk about him?
This isn't the one where he's like being chased in his car, right?
No. This is like, so he's just a private pilot. He saw a string of 9 shiny, unidentified flying objects. And this was up in Washington State. It was like around Mount Rainier. And so he estimated that they were flying at speeds at a minimum of 1,200 miles an hour, which is wild.
Yeah.
And this was like the first World War II post-World War II sighting that got, you know, nationwide news coverage and kind of is credited as like the beginning of like modern era of UFO sightings. So it started, you know, a big string of like reports of flying saucer sightings. They kind of became like a daily occurrence. And one famous example at that time is the Roswell incident in 1947, where remnants of a crashed observation balloon were recovered by a farmer and then confiscated by military personnel. So during this time, there are a lot of specific stories that we could go into. We probably will in later podcast episodes, so I won't give too much, you know, detail to those. But the U.S. Air Force officially coined the term UFO in 1952, which I thought was interesting. It feels like kind of late in some ways to me, but it was initially defined as those objects that remain unidentified after scrutiny by investigators. So now it's kind of opened up that I really feel like we use it for anything unidentifiable, regardless of like whether it's been looked into or investigated. Mm-hmm. But the first published book to use the word was authored by Donald E. Kehoe, which was called The Flying Saucers Are Real. So this was just like a, you know, big time of UFOs. In the late 40s into the 50s, there was a Trendex survey, which basically, you know, it's just people kind of doing research in August 1957, which was 10 years after Kenneth Arnold saw his UFOs. And in this report, it was that over 25% of the U.S. public believed unidentified flying objects could be from outer space, which I think is a pretty high percentage for that time.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially before the internet, before, you know, great photography. Like this was a time that, you know, it was like some grainy pictures in newspapers, I think, really. So people started to form saucer clubs, which I think is hysterical. So this is like UFO enthusiasts that like wanted to get together and do investigations or like research. I shouldn't say hysterical. I just think the word saucer clubs is funny.
Well, I'm but, like, do you want to be
this was like how with me,
Lauren, is a question.
Yes. Yes. And we'll have pasta with sauce as well.
Yeah. That's good.
So anyway, several definitive books came out at that time. A lot was happening. But starting in 1947, the U.S. Air Force started to like really, you know, do their own research, start these kind of projects that, you know, will be a trend. So basically, they started with Project Sign, which was them investigating more than 250 cases from 1947 to 1949. And then it was replaced by Project Grudge up through 1951. And then I think like probably like the first one that I've heard of or knew about was this third U.S. Air Force program that was called Project Blue Book from March 1952 up until December 1969. And in this work, they cataloged 12,618 sightings of UFOs. Isn't that crazy?
That is a lot. That is too many.
Right? And I know like some, a lot of those, like if you look into the details, and again, I'm not going to go like too much into everything, but a lot of them are, you know, they investigated and it was, you know, made up, or they were easily explainable, or all of these things. But that still is like a lot of, just a high number to me of sightings of UFOs.
Definitely.
So in the late 1950s, pressure started to mount for, you know, the U.S. Air Force and the government to release these UFO records. But the CIA played a role in refusing to allow this. Nothing really was, you know, super released at that time. And then we have 1961 Barney and Betty Hill story. And that's one of the ones that Felicia covered. So they recounted, you know, very detailed memories while under hypnosis. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to add from your side about that story, but it's a, you know, super detailed story.
You think I remember covering that? That's why I said,
It was so long ago. Just a nod and smile. It was very detailed. It was a you know, very believable story in a lot of ways. Yeah, and then what else do I want to say? Okay, so there's a committee that was set up in 1966 to review like the most interesting material gathered from Project Blue Book. So it was a detailed study of 59 UFO sightings. And then 2 years later, this committee released the results. So this is like a, you know, they did put this out to the public in some way. And it was called the Condon Report. And this was basically 37 scientists that contributed. And the conclusion was that there was no evidence of anything other than commonplace phenomena in the reports, and that UFOs did not warrant further investigation. Did you know this piece too?
I know. That's terrible.
Yeah. Right? So I'm like, as, you know, as recent as 1966, or I guess, yeah, in 1966 when this came out, like people were still just like, nah, nothing to be worried about, everybody. So this led to Project Blue Book being dismantled in 1969.
Yeah.
Lies. So lies. Now I'm just going to say like some like, right?
Sorry.
So I'm just going to say like some fun facts and then I'll wrap up. But I can't remember, I feel like this is, again, something that Felicia covered. But UAP, this like new term that we've been using, appeared in the late 1960s, actually, which, again, I didn't know it went that far back.
Yeah, I hadn't ever heard that until the Pentagon stuff last year.
Exactly. And what's super interesting is that it used to stand for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. But now the Pentagon has updated that terminology in December to be Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. So it can actually be used for air, sea, or space.
Oh, that's what that means. I was just looking at that. I wanted to make sure when I did my half of the episode that I remember what it stood for. And I was like, I don't remember that being what it was, what it stood for. That's so crazy that they changed it.
Yes.
Are there aliens? Wow,
they changed it because there's, yes. I'm like, there's more scary things out there. So we have to make the term even more all encompassing.
I was so scared. So scared.
Right? It's very scary. One of my favorite facts that I found is that scientists have sent aliens a mixtape. So in 1977, NASA created a mixtape to send to aliens, and it consisted of two LP records with tracks of global music, greetings in different languages, and sounds of the planet. I would be so thrilled to know what the sounds of the planet are.
Well, also, like, what songs did they include? Did they include songs? And did those artists get alien royalties?
And, like, how do you even pick that?
I don't know.
Like, who's on it?
I feel like...
Wait, I wonder if I can see. Do we
Michael
know?
Jackson. I don't know. That's all I got.
Right? Wait. Okay. Really, really quick.
Rolling
there
Stone.
There are a variety of natural sounds.
Oh.
Surf, wind, thunder, and animals. Including the songs of birds and whales. Wow.
That's nice. I wonder, like...
Oh, my God. Though, here it is. Okay. So, we've got Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, and Stravinsky.
I see the way they're going.
Okay.
Okay, classical scientists.
Right? But it also has Chuck Berry. Oh. And I'm trying to think if any of these other ones stick out to me. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know all these. Right? Lori Spiegel and a.
I don't know.
Yes. So it was a different time.
Okay. Fine.
Blind White John. Wait, Blind Willie Johnson. This is crazy. I don't know any of these people. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I wonder if the aliens were like, aw, that's so cute, but no thank you. And they circled no on the will you date me thing that came with the mixtape and sent it back.
They said, I just don't like you that way.
Can I tell you the most random story that has nothing to do with this?
Yes.
Okay.
A mixtape story?
Close. I went from mixtape to Love Note. And now I'm going to tell you my most amazing, embarrassing Love Note story from when I was in church camp.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Right before my fourth grade year, I had just moved to Maryland. So it was the summer before fourth grade. I guess they were trying to help me make friends. So they sent me to this like day church camp where I did meet friends. But there was this boy I thought was so cute. And so I was sitting behind him in the pews. Because it's church camp. And me and my friend wrote him a note that said, you're cute or something. I don't remember his name. I really wish I could. We're going to call him David. David, you're so cute. Do you like me? Circle yes or no. I passed it to this boy who was sitting in front of me at the pew. He opened it. He read it. He turned around. He threw it at me.
God,
it was so I don't know why that story just came to me. It was like it was so like he was so ferocious. He was just like and threw it at me.
Oh my God. And then Felicia Lobo never went to church again,
and then I never went to church again, and it's his fault. It's his fault that, you know, that's the day I lost. Never mind, I'm about to never mind.
You lost your faith.
Oh, that has nothing to do with aliens.
That's horrible.
I don't know. It's kind of amazing, though. Honestly, I really appreciate him advocating for himself in that moment and saying no.
I will say I'm having this like, yeah, I in my new Zen place, there are times I'm just like, wow. Like there is, even though that is horrible, there is like when people are horrible, there is something just fascinating, right? Where you're like, wow, you had no concern for my feelings.
No concern in church.
In church with the Lord's eyes on you.
Oh man,
that's cold.
Anyway, so I really think tape. Was there more? I'm so sorry.
I was gonna say there's only one last tidbit I'll throw in, and then I'm gonna give it over to you. But I will also say I realized I did not know that apparently you can get alien abduction insurance. Did you know this?
From who?
So there's actually a great number of people who have taken out insurance, and one insurance broker whose name is Mike St. Lawrence has been selling this insurance for 34 years. And he sells the 10 million alien abduction insurance policy for just $25.
A month or a year?
I think total. For the rest of your life.
I guess it's such a rare event that he feels like he'll never have to pay up.
Yeah, but I'm like, don't you think, like, I feel like I would take advantage of that.
Yeah,
I'd say actually I was abducted
and I'm gonna need that 10 milli right now.
yeah the cost is a single lifetime premium of $24.95.
wow, $24.95. I mean, I guess it's a just in case, it's not that much.
Yeah, I mean, should we do it now?
Yeah, I guess.
Did it go up? Anyway, maybe. That's it for me.
That's amazing. That was so well researched. Good job.
I tried. It's honestly, there's so much more I could have done is the truth. So everyone do your own research. Don't yell at me.
Well, don't yell at me either, because everything I'm going to cover is kind of a mash of information. So basically, what I feel the need to talk about today is this congressional hearing that just happened featuring David Grush. Is that how you say his name? Grush? I think it is.
I think so.
Who is basically a UFO or UAP whistleblower, and two other people that I'll mention in a second here. But it happened, I guess, on what day was that? It's July 30th. So I think it was the 27th. Is that right? But just that a few days right. ago. And he revealed some pretty freaking crazy info in this hearing about extraterrestrials. So, and the government's knowledge and cover up of its understanding and contact with aliens, basically. So it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Pretty scary.
It kind of is like what I've been waiting for my whole life. And then it's like the anticipation of something is sometimes so much more exciting than the thing itself. It's like, I've always known this was coming. And then it hit. And like I said earlier, I just was like, okay, what's for dinner? Like, it's just like, I feel like I should be even more flabbergasted than I am. But I think maybe because I always knew it was true.
Yes.
I'm just like, this is just what it is. But okay. So, all right. So the three men that testified before a House subcommittee about UAPs. Oh, sorry. It was on the 26th, July 26th, 2023 in DC. So, David is one of them. And then we also have another David Fravor, and we have Ryan Graves as well. So David Grush, he was in the United States Air Force. He was an officer and former intelligence official. And he had been in some like subcommittees and like about UFOs, I guess. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
He feels like it was time for the American people to understand what the government knows about this and the threats that come with it and blah, blah, blah. And when I was watching, and I'm going to go through kind of the key points that he hit, but it really did feel like an episode of The X-Files. I watched a lot of X-Files.
Totally.
Yeah. I watched a lot of X-Files, I guess, at the beginning of the pandemic. But it really felt like some of those key things. And I guess I'll just go for it. So these are not in the order of the hearing. These are just off, you know, the order I feel excited about talking about them in. So first of all, he was like, yes, there are so many, as you said, so many UAPs. Like, it's insane. They did mention the Tic Tac 2004 sighting. That's one of the ones I did cover in that episode like a year ago. But that these pilots had seen this like Tic Tac looking aircraft that was moving so fast that the G-force would have like killed a person inside of it. So like it was something that was going so fast, it was impossible for a human to be in there. And like,
just so
in
scary.
In the hearing, they say like, would a human have been able to withstand that force? And they were like, definitely not. So they did talk about that and confirm that. And that was one of the big things that we had looked at when the Pentagon released their documents. So there's that one. But then even more exciting was the fact, I guess, or the statement or whatever, I don't know. I guess he could be lying, but it doesn't seem like it. So that the U.S. government does indeed have some of these aircrafts, UAPs. And not only do they have them from like crash sites, but they were asked if there was anything inside of them, basically like aliens. And he confirmed that, yes, there was something. And he basically says, he doesn't say aliens. He says, I think he says non-human, which is somehow more unsettling.
Yes, I think you're right. yes.
Right? It's just like, it's so much more unsettling. But that they had uncovered, you know, I can't really use the word he used, but basically like biologics, which is basically, if that's the wrong word, I'm so sorry. But yeah, basically he was like, yes, we have alien bodies is basically what he said. So it's just like that in itself of just knowing that all of these stories that we've covered that have happened over the course of time at people that were called crazy. And it's just, It's like, or maybe they just told the truth and then the government was like, oh, they're crazy, don't listen to them, even though they've known the whole time. And they asked him, they asked David, like, who or how long has the government really had this stuff and known this stuff? And he was like, basically since like the 40s and 50s. And it's like, okay, so
crazy.
It is crazy. And it's interesting because we know from some of the stories we've covered that that's when the big buzz around UFOs really started. And it's so interesting that the government was really able to play that off as like a cultural phenomenon that was based in fiction, when in actuality, they were like finding crafts and just, and it was true. So that's crazy.
It's so scary.
It's so scary. I just,
yeah. The human, like them having alien bodies is like more unsettling than anything I think I've ever heard.
I know. And once again, like, and this is so X-Files too, but they also asked if anybody had been like hurt or punished, and eventually they said murdered for to hold these secrets that the government, like, you know, kill, basically, like, did the government kill people to keep these secrets from the population? And he basically says yes.
Which is scary.
Yeah, which is just so, that's that was my X-Files moment where I was just like, yeah, like the government will do anything to keep their secrets. And it feels sci-fi, but it's also just true. It's just so freaking crazy.
It scares me.
Yeah. I know, me too.
I just can't believe they murdered people.
But also, like, I can, because our government is horrible.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's a horrible place that we live.
So I'll say this. So from this hearing, the press around it, and there's been a push from Congress that they need to basically like make laws that force intelligence agencies to be more transparent about what they know with the public, like all these insane incidents, all the unknown objects that have posed a threat to national security in the United States airspace or around, that the public has a right to know about those things. And it's kind of like, and I, to an extent, I understand both sides where there is this thing about like the amount of threats that are coming in, not just from aliens, but from anything, are probably so often that the public almost doesn't need to know, because it would like disrupt daily life in a way that might be unnecessary. But at the same time, if we're being threatened by something that the general public can't even comprehend, it's like, but it's like, do we have a right to know? Do we have a right to know if we're being threatened in some way? Do we have a right to know this information? And I kind of think yes, because I'm like, I live in this country, I pay my taxes, whatever. Like, I'm just like, I think I, these like giant government secrets, I just feel like I deserve to know. And I think, I mean, other people agree, and it's starting to happen. Like the fact that our government is putting out this information slowly but surely is, you know, a testament to that. But I think they want basically more laws that kind of force our government to do it, because basically like legislation that's like meant to reveal government records. So I don't know. Right. We'll see.
And it is like, I mean, we just got out of a global pandemic that, like, I do think there was like so much misinformation and what was being shared and blah, 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 where it's like,
oh yeah,
totally. Like this is like real and scary. And we have like a history now of this.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. But it's interesting because now that you've said that thing about the change of the UAP, what it means, it really is so interesting to think about. You know, we covered the submarine crash or explosion, I guess, a few episodes ago, and this idea of like things that humans cannot withstand. So like I'm thinking about like the Tic Tac and like the G-force of like aliens like that. And like even on our own planet, like you can't go to a certain depth in the ocean or else you will just literally turn to dust. Yes. And it's all these things that are just like, wow, like as humans, we're only meant to survive in this like one little bubble. And there are so many other creatures and non-humans or aliens or multitude of things that are able to survive in those elements. Like I'm thinking about like those deep sea crazy looking fish. I'm thinking about aliens. I'm thinking about all these things where it's just like, oh, it's so crazy like how fragile humans are in comparison to other things that we actually do know about is really interesting.
Totally. And just like, I feel like too, like, you know, our ancestors are like humans used to die so much easier. That sounds awful, but I'm just saying like,
no, yeah,
death totally. Used to be, you know, everywhere. And I feel like we like have kind of kidded ourselves that it's like we, I mean, I feel like relatively protected in my daily life. And it's like, oh, right. Just a reminder that like you could drop dead at any moment.
I know. And I know. And it's so horrible. And like I've like recently, not to be so dramatic, but like I just know a few people that have died in the last like year or two. And it's just this thing where it's like, oh, like when I was young, it felt so impossible. Like death felt not like a real threat to me. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're young, totally. I think that's just normal to like feel this kind of like invincible, whatever. But I even think that even now where I'm just like, oh, but it couldn't happen to me. Like something crazy like that wouldn't happen to me because I'm the only, but I'm the only person experiencing my own consciousness. So like it, I feel infinite in that way, but it's like, you're not. And it's, that's so scary. I don't know how this got so dark, but I'm scared.
No, it's so scary. It's so scary. And yeah. I feel like too, because, you know, obviously we're so interested in this. I think we like of most people, like, I feel like I try to like compartmentalize, but it's like, it does, the existential dread is real.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, so I'm excited to see what comes of this. If more stuff comes of this. Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm curious to see what happens.
Keep everyone posted. Yes.
Yeah. But that's basically it.
Amazing. Well, thank you for doing it. I mean, obviously it's so top of mind and so intense right now. And so I'm glad
you can watch hearing it. Also, like even James had sent me a great TikTok. Like there's a lot of people that have like covered it with like the footage and you can like watch everything and it's great. One last thing I'll say is another thing that I was interested in and appreciated. So David Grush, he did also, so there were certain things that he said he couldn't say in a public forum like that, but that he would be able to discuss behind closed doors privately. So I'm curious like what those things are. And then he also provided them with a list of other people from the government or who had worked in these programs that would be willing to talk, basically. So that is like a next layer, a next step that I think is going to be really interesting to see over the next year or so what comes of like those names and if more of those people are going to be interviewed, totally. All that. So that's kind of like the next step or next level, I guess.
It's so scary. And so, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot right now.
Yep, yep, yep.
Well, thank you, everybody, for walking on this journey with us.
Yeah, we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares full of aliens.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.